Open your Bible, please, to the book of Mark, chapter number 2. Mark, chapter 2. Now, we've got a lot of things going to happen around here, and it's something always going on. I have some little cards right here. We use these for our contacts. And I had a number written down I want to share with you because I got some cards last Sunday. And the total, not counting our media ministry, and I know the post that Brad put at one time was approaching 8,000 views. And then Tim did some things, but and some of you may have. But just so far as contacts, that is so far as CDs, cassettes, or tracks, or letters, or personal contacts, personal witnesses, in the month of August, 5,478 people received a personal contact in some form or fashion from Friends at Benson Grove Baptist Church. And I think we'll just praise the Lord for that. Amen. That's a great outreach. And you know, I believe this, that God's word will not return void. It'll lodge in their heart. Some of them, old Brother Jesse Norris was a unique evangelist from Pineville, Louisiana. My brother Jesse had a lot of unusual saying. He said they might run off, but they'll bleed down in the thicket. And what that means is that they got the word of God in their heart. It'll pay dividends down the road. They can't get away from that. They can get away from me and you, but can't get away from us. These cards are what we use for our contact. Don't want to waste them. So Wednesday night, I gave them out and asked people to put them down on the back of that. People that they are praying for during revival. If you don't pray for something, nothing happens. Don't pray for somebody, then nobody gets saved. So I want you to pray for people, and then I want to try to get them in under the sound of the gospel, start next Sunday morning especially. If you have visitors and guests with you this morning, thank you for bringing somebody to the house of God. But I'm going to leave these right up front this morning, and if you will, please come by and get one. And use that little card, utilize it, and write on the blank side of it, folks that you're praying for. Now, if you've missed Wednesday night, the last two Wednesday nights, I preached the first Wednesday night on the power of personal invitation. David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." David was glad that somebody cared. He was glad that somebody wanted him to go to the house of the Lord. He was glad that somebody was willing to do what they wanted him to do. They didn't say, "You go to the house of God." He said, "I was glad when they said, let us go to the house of God." So get a friend, get a family member, get a neighbor, and bring them with you to the house of God. Let them know that you care about them. Let them know that you're going to be with them. And they won't walk in and feel like they've never been here before, which many of them hadn't. But it'd sure be a blessing to have somebody here that you knew. And so you bring your friends. Amen. And then last week I preached on the power of personal prayer. Praying you personally for revival. Praying personally for personal revival in yourself, but praying for other people and see God work. Paul described that kind of praying for salvation as travail. And Heather and Justin are over here, and the Lord willing, they're going to have a little girl in December. And it's right now, she's going through that period of time. And then when the baby comes, it'll be a really tough time for a few hours. That's travail. And that's the same word he used. It is the word for giving birth. And he said, "My prayer life for you that you'd get saved is just like somebody trying to give birth, like a woman trying to give birth." And he said, "I agonize in prayer." And then he said to that church and to some of those in the church at Galatia, he said, "Now travail in prayer once again for you till Christ be formed in you." So he didn't quit praying for them when they got saved. And so you keep praying that God help people to grow. So you pray and pray and use these cards. Write down somebody that you got a burden for, somebody that you love to see saved. It's good to have all of you in the house of the Lord, and thank the Lord for being here this morning. And Betty Jo and Jimmy, their daughter Katie's here this morning. Appreciate her being in the service and others that I've met. And some of you have been visiting quite a few Sundays, and I hadn't had a chance to meet you. Got to meet this morning. Thank you for being here today. Now, our text. Look at it in the book of Mark. I gave you the text, right? Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. And I'm going to read a few verses here, 12 verses actually. A very familiar story, and I want to share this with you this morning. In Mark chapter 2, look at verse 1. "And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they come unto him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, that is for the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And Jesus saw their faith, and he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sin be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they were reasoning within, so with reasons that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it be easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thy house. And immediately arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Thank God. Wouldn't you like for people to just say, we've never seen it like this before? I mean, God, we've seen some good times around here. I'm telling you, we've seen good times in this building. We've seen God move. We've seen awesome things happen over in the old building. Over the years, and even before I got here, you saw great things. Amen. I appreciate Ricky Pope's back here. I met him a while ago. Some of you who've been here a long time know he and his wife, Jean. She was in Ennis, and they were members, and he got saved over in the old building. And I know that before we ever came here 20-something years ago, or over 20 years ago, you've seen great things. Boy, wouldn't it be something to say we've seen things that we've never seen before, that is, the moving of the Spirit of God, the number of people coming, the number of people getting saved. Do you believe God can still do that? Say amen. I believe he can. I believe God can lift people's heart and spirit. I believe people get revived and get right with the Lord. And I believe that we could see this building filled to overflowing before the revival is over the next week. And I want us to pray that God would do that. Now, will you pray with me for just a few moments? Heavenly Father, I'm thankful for the blessed privilege of being here. Thank you for the choir this morning. Thank you for the congregational singing. Thank you for Miss Serena. Lord, I thank you for her singing this morning. Thank you for her life and testimony and witness for her family, for Brother Bob and the children. And God, I pray your blessing on them. And God, I pray this morning that God, that you just move here among us. Thank you again for last evening and Lord, for just a good time of fellowship with God's people. And Father, I pray this morning for our friends in the media audience. Some are not here this morning because of sickness, Lord, and I pray, God, the Holy Ghost to speak to them. And I pray, God, that, Lord, they be encouraged. And Lord, we've got friends in the building here this morning who are going through a lot of real bad physical battles. But God, you're a God of grace. Thank you for their faith, for their love in you. And God, I know that, God, you've got them in your hand and in your heart. And God, I pray this morning that, God, that you'd speak to them, encourage them and bless them, those in the building and at home. And Lord, for those Christians who ought to be here today, they are not close to you like they ought to be, for some not here because of ministry in other places, singing or preaching, some, our Father, because of physical illness, and some, our Father, because they just, Lord, doesn't have the right priority today. And I pray, God, that you'd speak to them. Lord, help us to understand how important it is to have our family under the sound of the gospel and be around God's people. And I pray, our Father, now for those who may not know Christ here in the building and in the radio audience. Our Father, you alone can save. Jesus, you said, no man comes to the Father but by you. And Father, I pray, God, that, Lord, that you'd speak to them, draw them by your grace and save them for Jesus' sake. And God, I'll thank you. Now, Lord, I confess there's no good thing in me. God, I know that, Lord, you love me. You called me to preach. God, I failed you so many ways and so many times. I pray, God, you'd purge my mind and heart now. And Lord, I present my body. I pray that the Holy Ghost of God will speak through me and minister to your people and to those who may not know Christ. And I'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. This wonderful story is just full of truth. And when you read these accounts in the Bible, He didn't put that in there just to fill up space. There are wonderful stories there, and it's a great story to read. It's a great truth to read. It's a real fact that really happened. But there are always lessons to be learned. In fact, if you overlook the whole thing, I want you to understand that God orchestrates everything. Before they ever got there, God had already put it in the heart of those four men or four friends to bring that fella to where Jesus was. Jesus had already, by divine appointment, knew where he was going to be. He knew he'd be in walking distance of that man. He knew he'd put it in that man's heart and the friend's heart to approach him and say, listen, Jesus is in this area. We're going to take you there. And he's going to do something for you. God had already orchestrated all of that. He had everything planned. And understand this, that here's what the whole scenario was about. This man got help. His friends got blessed. Those who were witnessing around it saw the miracle. They were blessed by that. But the whole truth of the message was this. He wanted them to understand that the healing was secondary. It was the forgiveness of sin that really counted. It was that he had power on earth to forgive sin. And you read it, you pick it out. So don't miss the main thrust of the story. I love the part about tearing the roof off. And I love the part about him letting him down. All those things are true, but he said to those men, but that you might know that the Son of God has power to forgive sins on earth. And he told that man, rise up and walk. That's what it's all about. And I want you to know beyond any shadow of a doubt, the most important thing for anybody in this building, the most important thing in anybody in the media audits is that you have your sins forgiven and that you know that heaven is your home. And my dear friend, when the whole world falls apart and your health is deteriorated and gone, my dear friend, you're still saved and heaven's still your home. And thank God it all be over. I wrote a card this week to a friend. And they have been for several months going through some very, very difficult time. And now he's in just real, his health is really not good at all. Been very critical. And I sat down and I wrote a card to him. And I said this, thank God one of these days, all these things will be past. Every burden you've got now will soon be gone. Every infirmity you've got now will soon be gone. If Jesus were to come right now, everybody in this building would have instant healing who's saved. You'd never be sick again, never have cancer again, never have a burden again. All those things are going to take place. But it all begins with this truth. That you have had your sins forgiven and you're washed in the blood. He sent the disciples out. I read again that parable where he said that the harvest is great, but the labor's a few. The next passage I didn't read says, and he sent them out. He told them to pray the Lord of the harvest, but then he sent them out. When they came back rejoicing. They said, even the demons are subject to us. Great spiritual success. They had revival. They saw healings. They saw people saved. And they were ecstatic. They were just rejoicing over that. He said, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your name is written in heaven. Now, how many of you are saved? Say amen. Amen. Are you glad of that? Praise God. You're not going to die and go to hell. That's a blessing from heaven, isn't it? And all these other things don't really matter very much. It's the fact that we know Christ is our Savior. I want you to notice a couple of things in this passage of Scripture, if you will. I want you to notice the fact that it was publicized that he was in the house. The Bible says in this passage of Scripture, it was noised abroad. Now, I noticed last night before we started the auction that it was pretty noisy in there. Because we were eating and fellowshipping. And if Baptists know how to do anything, it is how to eat and fellowship. And maybe third on the list is we sure do love to talk, amen? And we were having a great time laughing, and it was loud. We went over to Wake Christian for their homecoming, we went in. We had bought some barbecue plates and went in the cafeteria there at lunch. And, I mean, it was noisy in there. That's not what it's talking about. When it talks about noise abroad, it means that there were individuals who were publishing or proclaiming to others, Jesus is in the house. And I'm going to tell you, if you understand your responsibility, that power of a personal invitation, they went out and they told people all around the area that Jesus was in the house. They published that. They proclaimed that. I wonder this week, have you been excited about God meeting with us today and being in the house Sunday morning, Sunday night? I wonder, I know that when God's a moving and God's blessed and we know that He's here, that's when we get excited. I want us to just tell people that Jesus is in the house. Whether whoever's preaching, whoever's singing, that Jesus is the main thing. It's not just me or Brother Randy or anybody else, not whoever's preaching or whoever's singing, but it's Jesus. And it was published that He was in the house. Now, notice what happened. There were four men or four individuals, and they had a burden for their friend, and they brought him to the house of God. They began to plan. There was not only a publishing of him being there, but there was a plan. A few weeks ago, Brother Timmy preached, and he made the statement that you've heard and that he emphasized once again, if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. You know what? I love to fish. I love to fish. T.G. loves to fish. Danny loves to fish. And a lot of you like to do that. But, I've all of the fishing tackle, I got more fishing tackle than Walmart. I've got a shed full of stuff. I got plenty of that. I got a boat that some folk gave me. It's a good boat, perfectly good boat. But I have not caught a fish that I don't know when. You know why? I got all the equipment. Boy, I know how to catch them. I can tell you, we can talk. I was back there the other night, and then James and Danny and T.G. and a bunch of them, and Brian, Danny might not have been there, but they about there. Man, they caught 27 right there in the back of the church. I mean, big ones. I've never heard that. You know, nobody ever said I caught one about that long. They all about this long. They might have been that long when they caught it, but before they get through, it's that big. But they were talking about it. That's good. That's wonderful to talk about it. It's wonderful to have all the equipment. It's wonderful to know how. But you don't ever catch any fish if you don't go. If you don't go. They went and they published it, and then they planned. They planned to bring this fella. He's not able to walk. And so they decided to take him on a blanket or a quilt. And you can just visualize it in your mind. They took the four corners and they all went. And you know, God planned it, put it in their heart. There was a group effort. There's cooperation to get it done. They planned to do that. Now, if you don't plan to invite people, if you don't plan to bring people to the house of God, if you don't plan to witness, you never will. You never will. We can do seminars and we can give you all the material in the world. But if you don't make an effort to do that, Brother Jimmy a while ago was talking about getting the flyers for the revival. And he plans to give those out and invite people. But we won't ever get anything done if we don't plan to do it. And they plan to do that. Plan to do that. Just think about it now. How many of you have people you know? I'm not trying to trick you. This is just an honest survey. How many of you have family or friends or somebody that's not in church right now? They either saved and out of will of God, or they're lost and they don't come. You have a friend or family member like that. Raise your hand. Would you raise your hand? Did you know that everybody in this building just about raised their hand? They all had. Now I want to ask you a question. What kind of plan do you have to get them under the sound of the gospel? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you hear the word of God, if you can get them to hear the word of God, there's no guarantee they'll get saved the first time they hear the gospel. But he said, my word will not return void. But if you don't plan to get them here, if you don't plan to bring them, if you don't pray for them, if you don't make an effort to get them here, they won't ever get here. You need a plan to do that. So they published the fact that Jesus was there, and then they planned to get their friend there. But I want to tell you that no matter how much you plan, no matter how much you proclaim, there's always going to be the presence of hindrances. Notice the presence of hindrances. When they got there, they couldn't imagine the crowd that had already gathered. And there were so many people, the house was filled. You couldn't even get by the door, couldn't get to the window. And they were several deep all the way around that house. That was something they really had planned on, perhaps. They didn't know it was going to happen like that. I remember when we had a Christian school in Reidsville, North Carolina, Ronald Reagan came to Raleigh. We got a letter from the White House, had my name on it, personal, to Billy Cashwell. We want to give you a personal invitation to come to meet the president in Raleigh. And we shared that with the school. We all planned and we all loaded up. We're going to meet. Becky had broke her arm. She had a cast on. I was going to get him to sign her cast. We were somewhere around Cary, as close as we could ever get to downtown Raleigh. No, we were in Raleigh, but there were like a gazillion people there. And we stood out in the bad weather. It seemed like it rained a little bit and everything. And, you know, and finally the motorcade came by. We were three or four deep in there. And I was holding one of them up on my shoulders and everything. And there he goes. There he went. And I actually saw him, but never spoke to him. Didn't get a chance to meet him or anything because, you know, I wasn't expecting that. But, you know, when they got there to that house, they weren't expecting it to be that way. And so you're going to have things in your plan, and you're trying to get people to the house of God, they're going to come up. They're going to always be the presence of hindrances. Now, what happens to most people? They say, we're coming, and then they don't come. You go by to pick them up, something's happened. Well, you get discouraged. I had a fellow tell me one time, I ain't inviting nobody else to church. And I said, why is that? He said, because I just make them out a liar. They say they're coming, they don't come. Well, you just got to keep on. You're going to have problems. You're going to have hindrances. And if you quit, you quit. Bible said that the righteous man falls seven times and he rises again. You don't quit. The shepherd went out and sought that sheep until he found it. Don't give up on them. Don't give up on your family. Don't give up on your friends. There are going to be hindrances. There are going to be things. Sometimes there will be legitimate things, reasons they don't get to come. The devil's going to do everything he can to distract. He'll do everything he can to hinder. He'll do everything he can to discourage. But just don't quit. Don't quit. Just don't quit and throw in the towel. We just keep going. We just keep trying. We keep praying. We don't mark them off the list. We pray that, and you remember to pray for them. There's some others around, and focus on them as well. But there are going to be hindrances. They had a hindrance of the crowd. They had a hindrance of the what they had to do. They end up getting on that building on top of that, and they tore the roof off of it. Now, in the Philippines, in other places, they got thatch roofs. I'm sure there was some type of thatch roof. I do know they have some, clay tiling in Israel. So I'm not sure exactly what kind of roof it was, but it probably took us some time. It says, the Bible said that they tore the roof off, and when it was broken up, they were up there taking the roof off because they were determined they weren't going to let anything stop them from getting their friend to Jesus. And what you have to do, they understood that if they get him to Jesus, he can get healed. And it's not the problem that we need to focus on. It's the need of our loved one and the fact that Jesus can heal them. And we're going to overcome every obstacle, every hindrance, and we're going to get them to where Jesus is at. We're going to get them there. But then, if you will, notice this, that when they got him into the place and they let him down, the Bible said, and when Jesus saw their faith, when he said that to them, and when he saw their faith, he said to the man, thy sins be forgiven thee. Now, this man has a problem. I want you to notice in your Bible that the Bible says he's described in verse number 3, and they came to him bringing one sick of the palsy. And then down at verse number 4, the last phrase, and it said, and they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And in verse 5, Jesus saw their faith and said to the sick of the palsy, there's the word again, and then look at verse 9, whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. And then look at verse 10. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. This man's problem was mentioned 5 times in that short passage of Scripture. He's sick of the palsy. I'm not sure all that it means. I hadn't done all the research on what they meant there in the Greek text or in the 1611 King James English. But it's a disease that's debilitating and crippling. But it's unique that it's mentioned 5 times. He had the problem. But 5 in the Bible is the number of grace. There's not a problem that he cannot solve. There's not a sin he cannot forgive. There's not a disease he cannot heal. Grace is sufficient. He said, where sin did abound, grace did that much more abound. And grace was present in there in the description. The five is the number of grace in the Bible. This man had a problem. There's no doubt about it. He's not able to get there himself, but somebody loved him and brought him there. And Jesus was able to heal him. And your sin, as great as it is, grace will cover your sin. Grace will forgive you. Grace can wipe away all of your sin and forgive you. I ran across something that I had written in some notes from a long time ago. Not sure if I said it or somebody else said it. But it was a wonderful little, just a little brief clip and story. A little fella got in trouble. He disobeyed his mom and dad. And he felt terrible about it. They had, like most people have, they have a little bulletin board in the house. Sometimes it's you write with a erasable magic marker. And this happened to be a little chalkboard in there. And a little fella came into the kitchen and he wrote, Mama and Daddy, I'm sorry I disobeyed you. Forgive me. If you forgive me, wipe this away. Can I tell you what Jesus did? He wiped it away. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Grace, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. There's not one person in the sound of my voice here in this building or in the media audience, regardless of what you've ever done, that grace is not sufficient for your need. He'll forgive every sin. He'll take away every sin. And he has to do that. That brings me to this. Notice, if you will, not only publishing of his presence being there, not only the fact that they had a plan and they were persistent and that this man had some serious problems, but I noticed the power of the word. He said, thy sins be forgiven thee. Thank God for that. He can forgive them. You see, sin is against God. That young man, the prodigal, came back and he said, I've sinned against God and against thee and no longer worthy to be called thy son. Sin is against him. Sin is against God. It's not against the preacher. It's not against anybody. We do sin against individuals, to be sure. But the truth of the matter is that all sin is ultimately a sin against him. But now notice who's doing the forgiving. It was Jesus. It was Jesus. Jesus forgave him. His sin, whatever they might have been, was against him. But he said, thy sins are forgiven thee. My dear friend, I'm glad this very personal thing. It's your sin, my sin. He knows all about us, knows everything there is to know about it. But his forgiveness and it's the one we've sinned against that gives us the free pardon. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that justified. Christ justifies. There's therefore no condemnation to them that in Christ Jesus. If you'll come to him this morning, the power of his word to forgive. And he said this, whosoever cometh me, I'll in no wise cast out. Believe his word. He said, if you'll call on me, I'll answer thee and show thee great mighty thing. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he'll save you if you'll trust him as your Savior. I notice here the pondering of his enemies. I love passages like this in the Bible. Notice what it says about those who are sitting around. It says in verse number 6, but there were certain scribes sitting there. They always like to show up. And I don't care what kind of meeting you have, you've always got critics. You got a lot of people who come to critique and not to get blessed. You got a lot of people who come to criticize, not be able to. I don't care who you are, where you are, you're going to have that. So just know you're going to have it and just don't worry about it. You don't worry about the critics, just keep on going. But notice he said, it says that they reasoned, look at that in verse number 6, they reasoning in their hearts. They wouldn't say anything out loud. They were thinking this. Verse 7, they were thinking, here's what they were thinking. Why does this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God? They didn't recognize God only. They didn't recognize that Jesus Christ was God. He's God incarnate, human, the flesh. They didn't know him, recognize him as being God, but he is. And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Wow. Do you ever think about the fact that while you're sitting in church, that Jesus hears everything you think? That's dangerous, isn't it? I mean, you think about things. I mean, your mind wanders. You think about things. You think about, is he ever going to quit preaching? You know, I don't believe that, you know, those type of things. Jesus hears your thoughts in your heart. He knows your heart, knows all about you, knows your heart. That's something that we ought to be mindful of, that whatever we think, and he talked about even committing adultery. So if you commit adultery in your heart, so he sees the heart. He knows what's in your heart. And that's something that ought to cause us to be careful. It's something that always causes us to be careful about our thought and to understand that he knows everything we think. But also, isn't it a blessing? While people may misunderstand what you do, what you say, while you may not feel like you've accomplished what you wanted to do or it didn't come off like you thought it would. I know Brother Roger, passed away, and he was there to help with the family. Brian did a funeral on Friday, and he was concerned about that. But God knows your heart. And what if when we yield to him, and it to us in our own evaluation, the evaluation of those around us, the critics around us for sure, they may judge us one way, but God sees your heart. He knows if you're genuine and real or not. And it's not, you know, the great oratory, it's not how you present it, or it's not human wisdom, but God looks on your heart. He knows your heart, and he sees everything in there. Sees the good, he sees the bad. He knows when you're genuine. He knows when we're hypocritical. He sees the heart. And he looked on the heart of these men. Number one, they did not perceive that he was Christ, that Jesus was God. He is God. Please understand that. He's God. That means he's omniscient. He's omnipowerful. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. God, and Christ lives inside of you. God lives inside of you. What an awesome thing to know that he lives inside of you. But my dear friend, listen, Jesus perceived what they said. And he said, now, which is easier? Which is easier, he said, verse 9, whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, rise up and walk, but that you might know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin. He saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, rise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up his bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we have never seen it, saw it on this fashion. My dear friend, listen. When people see what only God can do, it glorifies God. I want to do everything I can. You want to do everything you can. But we need that element of the supernatural to come to save souls and change lives and make it. And then God gets all the glory. I notice in this, the closing thought, the praise of the Savior. When it's all said and done, he gets all the glory. Here are men who sacrificed their time and effort and everything to bring their friend to Jesus. Here's a man who got up miraculously and walked and went out. But God got the glory. My dear friend, when it's all said and done, he deserves the glory. He gets the glory. And we magnify him. He's a great God. And we praise him for what he's done. Will you bow your heads in prayer this morning? Here's the invitation this morning. Twofold always. Number one, if you don't know Christ, he knows you. He already knows all about you. I said in the very beginning, God had already orchestrated every bit of this. Do you know he knew that man before he ever was born? He knew about his years of being sick. He orchestrated it so friends would bring him to him. He knew he would heal him. He knew he would forgive him. And he was looking forward to that time, I believe with all my heart. My dear friend, he knows you. He's going to make preparation, everything's set so he could forgive you. This may be the day that he would forgive you. Boys and girls, men and women, God knows all about you. Things that your family doesn't know, your husband doesn't know, your wife doesn't know, doesn't make any difference. God knows. But he loves you anyway. And he gave his son to die that you might have life, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He paid our sin debt. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He knows all about you. Right now, if you're not saved, here in the building or in the media audience, you can believe on him with all of your heart and turn to Him. The medium of salvation is faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is a gift of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It's a simple act of your faith, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you do it now? Will you believe on Him right now? You say, Brother Billy, I can't see Him. I know. I don't even feel Him. I know that too. But right now, if the Holy Spirit of God has put a want to in your heart, that's not natural to the lost man. The Bible said that lost men are dead in trespasses and sin. But if there's a desire in your heart, if the Holy Ghost of God has quickened you and awakened you to your need of salvation, and He's created in you a desire, in the day of thy power, thy people will be made willing. If there's a willingness on your part right now to turn to Christ, God's already doing a work in your life. Now you need to respond to that grace and receive Him now. If you're not saved in the building this morning and you want to be saved, believing that you're lost and knowing He died for you, knowing you're a sinner, will you take a step of faith and say, Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I deserve only to go to hell. But Jesus, You bore my sin in Your own body. You paid all of my sin debt. I believe that You died on the cross for me. We're buried and You rose again. I know You're alive. You're here right now. Jesus is in the house. Lord Jesus, come in my heart right now. I accept You as my personal Savior. Forgive me of all my sin. Thank You, Jesus, for loving me and for dying for me and for saving me right now. Dear friends, you pray that prayer, mean it with all of your heart, according to the Word of God, He'll save you. If you've prayed it, He's already saved you. Now the Bible says you'll believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, God had raised Him from the dead. I believe a believing heart is a confessing heart. And so in a moment we give the invitation, I invite you to come forward and let me know that you trusted Christ. We'll let the church know. They'll pray with you and pray for you, rejoice with you. Love to see you baptized. Follow the Lord and believe His baptism. And then for Christians this morning, not one person in this building that's not aware of the fact that our nation's in a mess, that the spiritual thermometer of this nation is lowering every day. There's no time for God, no interest in God. And the way to remedy that is only to win people one at a time. Go find somebody that you care about. Pray for them. Invite them. Bring them. If all of our church members and church family would come one Sunday, if they'd come next Sunday, the first Sunday revival, this building would be filled to overflow and the choir wouldn't even be able to come down. If all those who used to be in the choir and got backslid on God and got preoccupied and a lot of other things going on, if they'd get right with God and get back in the choir, Brad couldn't get them all in the choir. We wouldn't have to beg for Sunday school teachers, beg for Awana workers. If there was an excitement in our hearts about revival and about God and loving Him, I'm asking you to be honest with God. Say, God, my heart's cold. God, You do a work. God, rekindle the fire in me. God, change me. Cause me to be more faithful to You. God, I want to do what I can in these last days to honor Jesus. And Christians, I'm asking you to do this morning. God may burden your heart. I invite you to come around this old-fashioned altar and pray for revival. Pray for your lost loved ones. Pray for yourself that God would put back in you what you used to have and then to lead you and you be obedient to His leadership in regard to praying, inviting friends, bringing friends, getting involved in working ministry. For all of our new friends who are coming and beginning to join, I want you to be a part. Get in the choir. Get in the choir. Get in the youth program. Work in the Awana program. They'll plug you in somewhere. We're coming up on a new year so far as teachers and officers and all are concerned. But if your name's not on that list, doesn't mean you can't serve. There's somewhere for you to serve. Plenty to do for Jesus around here. I invite you to come this morning. God's people will always lead the way. Will you stand, please? Heavenly Father, in the strong name of Jesus right now, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost, to draw people by Your grace. God, I pray that not one man or woman, boy or girl in this building would die and go to hell. God, I ask, Father, in Jesus' name this morning that God, people would step out and come to trust Christ. God, I pray you, Lord, forgive us for our lack of faith. Forgive us for our faith, lack of faithfulness. And God, I pray, God, that you'd move on the heart of your people. God, I pray that they'd come around and pray for old-fashioned revival. God, that they'd promise you that they'd make phone calls this week. They'd invite people. They'll make every effort to be in every service revival they possibly can. And God, I pray, oh God, that you'd honor their coming this morning as they present their bodies. I pray, God, you'd hear and answer prayer. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name.